Yeah, let's keep it going for Tyler Snodgrass.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I love storytelling, man. This is so fun. But maybe I shouldn't. I have mixed feelings because I love storytelling because I love talking about me, which is great. The problem is I'm never the hero in any stories that I tell, ever. I'm always the bad guy or just a static character that's boring. Like, I don't have anything good. There's usually not a point or a lesson. Like, I wish I was the hero. We know heroes, you know, like a passionate, inspiring teacher or a white guy who hates white guys on Twitter. You know, a hero. I'm never that guy. I'm never that guy. I'm not even an anti-hero. I'm not a Byronic hero or an ironic hero. I'm just a gentleman scumbag. Like, that's all I am all the time. I don't know if anyone said it yet, but tonight's theme is intention. So I'm going to sort of cover that, but I'm mostly going to cover the lack of intention. Like, this story is a little bit about good intentions. It's mostly about unintentionally doing something very bad and not realizing it until someone tells you that you did it. So let's kick things off back with my time in Missouri. I lived in Missouri for the first 24 years of my life, and I spent a good portion of that time performing short-form clean improv. Hold your applause. Stop it. Stop it. There are two kinds. Once I moved to Chicago and I started doing stand-up way more than I was doing improv, I got a job offer, and I didn't have a job at this point, so I was like, I will do it. The job, I was told, was to fly to Colorado and perform short-form improv at a church camp for middle schoolers. Because stand-ups love improv and Jesus. That's always what they love the most. So I'm like, but Denver's really cool, and I need $500, so I will do this. So I fly to Denver, and the guy that I'm doing the show with, who I've not met yet, it's this middle-aged gentleman named Dave, who's very sweet and is a very funny performer. He picks me up in a rental car, and he says, have you ever been to Gunnison? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, we're driving to Gunnison, which is not Denver. It's several hours away from Denver. And if you've never heard of Gunnison, that makes sense. There's not a lot going on there, but it's a semi-pretty drive for several hours. And we arrive at a college campus where this church camp is being held. And it's pretty fun, to be honest with you. Like, I had a pretty good time. Dave and I mean, there's a big age difference and a big life difference. We, you know, have we just don't have that much to talk about, but he's really sweet. We see a couple movies together. We eat food together and stuff. The kids, of course, I cannot talk to because they're Christian middle schoolers. So they're so weird. Like, they're so... I mean, I was one, so I know how weird it gets. But most of these kids were also homeschooled, so they're, like, especially weird. Like, most of these kids probably thought their own genitals were a myth. You know what I mean? Like, this is a weird situation. So I don't hang out with them much. The people I wind up hanging out with while I'm in Gunnison is the praise and worship band at this church camp. And if you've ever been to a church camp, you know that the praise and worship band is the shit. Like, they are the coolest dudes. And these guys are. They're so cool. Like, they're like all tall and they dress well and they like fucking kill it on their instruments. Like, they're the... There are no cooler 25-year-old virgins on the planet. These guys are tops. So I hang out with them because we have a lot in common. We have a good time together. We're the only people each other's age. So we hang out. The way this gig works is we open up for the praise and worship band. We're doing short form improv. And if you've never done short form improv, it's a lot of like, we're going to bring the kids up on stage and they're going to move us around like human puppets. Or we're going to make one of them say buzz into a microphone. And then we have to change what it is we just said. So it'll be like, hey, let's get into my car. Buzz. Hey, let's get into my truck. Buzz. You're not my mom. It's very funny. So we're doing that. I want to incorporate the band because these kids love this band. And I have an idea. A couple weeks before going to the church camp, I'd seen my favorite band, They Might Be Giants, in concert. Where are my nerds at? Where are my nerds at? Particle Men and Women, make some noise. All right, so I see these guys, and I love them. It's like my fourth time seeing They Might Be Giants. And they introduced a new audience game, which they are want to do. This game was called Apes versus People, and it's the best. They split up the audience, and the rhythm section is assigned to one half of the audience, and then the Johns are assigned, so the strings and keys are assigned to the other half. And while like the bass and drums are playing kind of this nonsense, the whole audience chants, apes, 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 and then they switch, and everybody goes, people, 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 and nobody wins. It's just a lot of fun. It's just a good time. It's like the parachute game in gym class. Like, there's no losers. You're having too much fun to realize. So I want to play that and have the band do it while we, like, conduct the apes versus people chant. So I pitch this to the band. Now, you should know, when I explain, we're going to have the rhythm section have all these kids chant apes, and then we're going to have the lead section have all these kids chant people. I've unintentionally segregated the mixed race band. So if you haven't caught up yet, because I hadn't, because I was just stoked to talk about They Might Be Giants for a second, I told these nice young black gentlemen, hey, when you play this music, your passion, we're going to have about 400 seventh graders raise their fist and yell apes at you. And then when the white guys do their thing, conversely, they're going to chant people, people, people. So I say this with the biggest grin on my face. And they're like, cool, we'll talk to you later. And I'm like, nice, we're going to have fun tomorrow. So I go off to do the rest of my day at the church camp, which is like, you know, canoeing with the kids or like going to a pool or just hanging out or whatever. I see the band, my good friends, about 12 hours later, and I ask the lead singer, so do you guys feel good about doing the game Apes versus People tomorrow? And he's like, yeah, we got to talk about that. And he explains to me what I had said and what I had implied, and I literally hit the ground. My body hit the ground in shame, and I just started yelling, I'm sorry. And he's like, no, man, it's cool. And I know he meant it. It was hugely humiliating to me because I, you know, racism is all about ignorance. But I had found this new form of ignorance that was ignorant of like even like slurs or like mean things people say. I'm just thrilled about They Might Be Giants. My tragic flaw. And like I said earlier, a lot of my stories don't really have points or lessons. And I'd like to say this one did, other than I learned to be more aware of that sort of thing. And you know what? We didn't even play the game afterwards. And I haven't talked to those guys since either. But that's my story. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tyler. There's been a lot about praise bands tonight. Let me just say real quick. So, in seventh grade, when I started playing guitar, I was halfway living with my dad, and the only reason he was cool with it, he was like this born again, whatever bullshit, and he was like, well, you know, you can play in this church band, and you should talk to the lead guitarist. He's a great inspiration. And then he said this thing I'll never forget, and this was like, every like almost made it and has been in like Illinois has this a variation of the story. He goes, yeah, the guitar player was almost in Styx, but then he decided it was too secular for him. Oh my God. All right. So almost in Styx, guys. He was almost good enough to be in the band that recorded Mr. Roboto. P.S. Dad, look at me now. I still haven't ever played a Styx song on this stage. So I'm doing you proud, Daddy.